to Urban Issues, and our guest is Karamea Muller, who is lecturer of architecture specialising in Pacific space concepts and architecture at the University of Auckland School of Architecture and Planning. She's also co-director of Mapihi Māori and Pacific Housing Research Centre. Kia ora, Karamea.
Kia ora, Catherine.
It's impossible to talk to anybody today in Tamaki Makaurau, Auckland, or just about anywhere without asking how you are going and how whānau are going.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate the care and concern. I'm all right. Myself and my whānau are all right, although we had some flooding in some of our homes, and my mother, who's she's an elderly woman with Parkinson's, had to be evacuated from her house. So we've had a few challenges, but looking across the motu, obviously, feel very lucky. And my heart also going out to those who have been more badly affected.
Distressing enough, however. Thank you, Karamea, and I hope all goes as well as possible from here. Let's come to your subject matter today, which are the issues facing Pacific people and their housing and its relationship to infrastructure. Could you just perhaps overview the work, the research, and some of the key themes, Karamea?
Oh, yes, I can. I mean, I think sometimes you can enter some of these big, you know, these big topics that have, like, they're kind of networked across different spheres, different disciplinary spheres of research. But I personally, for me, as a Pacific researcher, I think a useful entry point is to think about the history of Pacific people in Aotearoa New Zealand and contextualize Pacific housing by that. And a longer view would probably take into account how Pacific people and this sort of mass migration and how we came to settle here in Aotearoa. And that would include sort of post-World War, where there was a real gap in labour, a real shortage, and particularly for blue-collar labour. And government of the time felt that it was, you know, a good mutually beneficial deal to strike with the Pacific nations, especially those that they were sort of governing over at the time, would be to have a liberal approach to migration. That spurred on an influx of Pacific people, communities. And when they came here, some of the housing that they could afford and that they were able to, you know, that was able to accommodate some of their value systems, which is, you know, large family units that extended beyond like sort of Pākehā or, you know, the sort of two to three bedroom home. This 19th century villas of these inner cities like Auckland or Tamaki, those could accommodate them for a time. Of course, as sort of financialization of housing occurred and gentrifying forces came along, these communities, they'd already built some of the infrastructure through community efforts. And thinking about the Polynesian Panthers, who installed a traffic light in Grey Lynn and Ponsonby to ensure child safety around crossing the road, some of those moments, as well as church spaces, all of that kind of infrastructure that they could support or create through community efforts, they sort of had to leave behind as gentrifying took over. And these communities that were sort of, you know, in a way taking up a particular part of or taking on the particular role of creating this the industrial background or industrial, like, rather skeleton for Aotearoa had to shift out to South Auckland. And now we're seeing, you know, some of the worst effects of the flooding is occurring in some of these suburbs and neighborhoods that have stormwater infrastructure that is actually built for 50 years ago. It's not actually built for now. And I heard from Jesse Mulligan that you'll have my colleague on, Timothy Welch, about how we might start attending to the surface of our urban areas and creating more spongy areas to soak up this water. But the other thing is we have to start really seriously seriously thinking about investing in infrastructure that will take us into the next 50 to 100 years. And that investment has to be equity-based. It has to really think about these suburbs really seriously, because these events are obviously picking up in frequency, and that's kind of critical. There is, in a way, no, it's too detrimental to create housing density in areas that we won't invest in infrastructure for, because we see the kind of, we see what happens to those communities in these sorts of events.
Is that an issue? Is that a real issue, Karamea, that the densification is happening because people need homes? And we're going to talk more about in a moment, I hope, about affordability and about supply of suitable homes, the homes that people want and need to live in. But is there a gap between the intensification that has happened at pace in a growing city and the infrastructure that is adequate for the future, not for the past?
Yes, and I think we're seeing it, because we're seeing cul-de-sacs with water and nowhere to go. We're seeing it with a transport system that for too long, and I don't want to make this moment a crisis around a political matter, but multiple parties have not been able to maintain a transport system that's keeping up with population growth. And in a way, we've been passing on the cost of transport for those communities that live further away from the central city for too long. We've been counting on those communities for maintenance of those systems. And now we're at this crisis point where everything is converging.
What of, I beg your pardon. Go ahead.
We're coming to a point where climate crisis needs more investment in stormwater. Housing needs more, housing needs more investment in infrastructure, and these are the sorts of, there is an urgency there. But I think one of the reasons why I gave a longer timeline is because that urgency has always been there for Pacific communities.
The question is, how well is it being responded to, and by whom? And what is needed? We touched on the affordability crisis for housing in this country, as well as the adequacy of the housing that's being provided. Could you comment with, I guess, how we go about business in development of homes and of suburbs and of communities and of community spaces? Could you comment?
I can make a comment. I think it's sort of tricky. I've been thinking about this in different, I hold different hats in some ways. I'm a Pacific woman. I have a Pacific family, and then other ways I'm a researcher. Then also more recently, I'm a co-director of Māori and Pacific Housing Research Centre. And in a way, housing is one of these things that it's everyone's problem, and when it's everyone's problem, it's no one's problem at the same time, and that's a tension that we hold, as we go about our daily lives. I think we are seeing housing providers, like such as Kāinga Ora, taking a leadership position, and recognizing that they enable housing, but also opening it up to other experts on as to how what kind of future Pacific housing needs. And there are some things that, Māori and Pacific people, we it's best not to flatten us into one category. Treaty for issues of the treaty, as well as other issues. But some of the things that we share are multi-generational living and intergenerational knowledge. And I think we're seeing organizations like Kāinga Ora starting to pivot so as to better accommodate those ways of living. But as I said again, if we have a lot of density, we also need that infrastructure.
You mentioned equity and its role in large and expensive decisions that need to be made. And what is it in any way built in to current models and decision-making models and systems?
I think It is. I think we have champions for different versions of equity. I think we also have to think about a few, future generations, and what equity looks like to them. Particularly, I think about housing. There are some cultural shifts that we still need to undergo as a country around what housing stability looks like. We're already getting that in terms of different models, and of course, people are feeling the need to be creative around how they may enter the housing market. But there's also other ways of establishing housing stability for people. Stable rental, stable rentals is one of them. Also, policy climates. The policy that enables a climate of housing stability that's not all pinned on home ownership.
Ngā mihi ka
So,
mea. Thank you very much. Just a few seconds left for your final thoughts.
my final thoughts are just to wish everyone safety in for the next period and recovery in the month ahead.
Kia ora.
Kia ora.
Thank you. Thank you. Kara mea mula, Mueller, I beg your pardon. Now, she is a lecturer of architecture specialising in Pacific space concepts and architecture at the University of Auckland School of Architecture and Planning. She's also co-director of Māpihi, Māori and Pacific Housing Research Centre.